Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And how deeply grateful I am, and I really, really am, to be with you on this radio program for December 2nd, 2017. We're going to be looking at the reason there is no reason. And hopefully I'll be able to explain that to you. Before we begin, you know what I'm going to say. You know, I want to thank my sponsors who make this radio program possible. If it were not for their contributions and their kind and loving insight into what I'm offering here on radio, as well as my TV program, you would not be listening. And hopefully you are listening with intent ears. If you are, you can thank my sponsors, for they're the ones that make it possible for me to be on the radio. And if you're not a sponsor, maybe it's time for you to join and help us sustain this program. Not looking to be a world leader or anything like that. I'm just offering you the alternative to conventional thinking and belief, and hopefully you will understand what that means inside of you and support our program. The world needs this kind of input. Though it is small, it still needs this kind of input. So I'm hoping you will see the value and become a sponsor. And if you want to know a little bit more about sponsorship, please come to the website at aspire.org. That's A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. And in the center of the page, you will see support. Just click on that and a drop-down menu will come. And it will say, why support Aspire? Which is a very good question. And you can read about it and make your decision from there and become a sponsor from there, and you will get the message of the month, and you will have access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries, and 122 or something, I don't know, discourses I've done over the years on different radio programs, different TV programs that I've done. All of them are there on various subjects like Cahil Gibran on the Prophet, the Eightfold Path of Buddha. There's so many different subjects I touched. Nobody Likes You Anyway, which is very important. Many, many different things. So go take a look. These are all there for you as a way of saying thank you for your kindness. Very rare these days for people to be kind. Extremely rare. All right. What is the reason there is no reason? People are always looking for a reason why we live, why we go through what we go through, why we're here. And I get a ton of questions on this from people. And, you know, sometimes they're very, very good questions and sometimes they're silly. But here we go with three that I thought were pretty interesting. Greg, why did God give us free will? I am cursed enough. What is the point of it? Jason, he does not tell me where he lives. Why did God give us free will? First of all, Jason, you are assuming there is this God. You know, omnipotent body that exists somewhere in this universe and is controlling and puppeteering everybody here on Earth. That's basically an assumption that you have. It is not necessarily true, but we like these assumptions. They make us feel as though someone is watching over us and we have a father figure to deal with, a parental figure that, you know, is in charge here. And that we're here to please. What makes you think you have free will? What makes you think that anything you are doing, you're doing on your own volition? That's the real question. What makes you think that? You think that because you feel an impulse to do something, that you've made a decision and it's okay, or that God gave you, your God, your idea of God, gave you permission to do that? Doesn't that look a little bit insane? Why would, if God were the all-intelligent being that we believe him to be, as religion dictates in some philosophy, why would this all-intelligent being give us this right to choose and then at the same time bestow upon us enormous inabilities to decipher truth, to be loving and kind. I mean, we're flawed enough as we are, and that's basically what you're saying. Why did we get this free will that where you say that you are cursed enough as it is or tortured enough by yourself and free will, not a thing. You and I don't have free will. We are governed by genetics. We are governed by DNA. We are governed by our human body. We are governed by fear and hatred. We are governed by prejudice. And we're the ones that go into these attributes, as they were, and dig them up from our genetic nature and cause ourselves grief and pain and sorrow. And that's just the way it is. No one is doing this to us. This isn't about the idea of a God doing this to us. We have done this to ourselves by dipping into our heritage, our genetic pool. And it is there that we pull out such things as prejudice and anger and fear and keep ourselves in emotional ignorance all the time. There's no such thing as emotional intelligence, so don't let them sell you on that. Intelligence is when you and I can live in the silence of our being and find insight through that silence. But most of us are not much interested in that. We are only interested in the ideas that, shall we say, cure the savage soul in us and tell us what we can and cannot do and alleviates problems for us. But in living in that way, we miss the whole opportunity of what it is to feel a love that is greater than our beliefs, than our philosophies, than anything we've ever known before. So we go on and on and on, missing the point of our life, never really seeing the mission that we're really on in this world. And what is that mission? It is to find the nature of our heart. We are here as love. We are not here as a predicament. We are not here for a purpose and a reason that our minds can conjure up based on the assumption of this thing called a Christian or whatever it is, God. There is this element of love. The whole universe is run on the intelligence of love. This intelligence is something that comes from the state of itself. I don't know where this came from. I have no idea. I have no idea of the origins of this kind of beauty and intelligence. All I know is it exists. It exists in every single person, this thing called love. And it is the most beautiful and intelligent quality a person can ever realize. It is not found through intellectual prowess. It is not found by the acuity of my mind and how it thinks from emotionalism. It is found through compassion, meditation, love. It is found through the discipline of living in a simple life, in the solitude of our life, in the silence of our life. These are the things I was teaching at one of my recent retreats, and it is very important that you understand it, because if you do understand this, you will emerge out of the other side not needing a reason for living, not needing a idea for why we are here. I don't have free will. If I live only according to my body, I live according to the dictates of my genetic nature and my DNA. How is that freedom? How is that a choice? You have no choice. You need to eat. You need to sleep. You need to work for the most part. And if you don't need to work, you know, because you have some disability or you're wealthy, you have a need to live. And you will spend your money and your things on the things that quantitate meaning to you. And that is not a choice either. In Zen, we talk about the choiceless choice. But living according to the manner of our spirit and not the beliefs of our emotionality. When you and I are living in our emotionality, we are missing the meaning of our life, the substance of our living. We are merely going through the motions of our living. Jason, you're not cursed, you're blessed. There is great love in you, the intelligence of a great love. You're not cursed. You have this great love, it's at your disposal right now. And it is the deepest form of intelligence you and I will ever know. And it comes from the universe, from the blessing of the universe. You want to call it God? That's fine. I have no problem with it. But don't think God is this moody thing that one moment is cursing you and another moment is seeming blessing you. It's not about that at all. It is about the blessing that you are and the blessing you live with and the blessing you live in. Start to look at your life a little more consciously and you'll get it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Great question, Jason. Very good. I hope I helped you. Let's go to the next one. What reason does God have for evil? People in this world are evil. Why did he place people who are evil into this world? Kathy. I don't know where Kathy lives. First of all, again, we have a problem. You think that there is this guy in the sky who does things just to do them and has his own reason and purpose for it. And we come up with all sorts of theories about it, that God is testing us. God is telling us what we should and should not be doing and all of that other stuff. But that is just not true. That is not the way. It is not what our life is all about. Let me help you just a little bit. Kathy, we go evil because we get into what we think is a justified morality. A justified morality based in the belief that we are right and others are wrong. That what might be happening to us in this lifetime is inappropriate to the kind of person we are. We are that kind of person. We live in a very ugly state of mind and body based on the appearances that we have lived with and the assumptions we have made and our genetic fiber, which is legions of human beings that have composed our body. You come from heritage, hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people that have walked this planet, and they all live in you. They all have their own, shall we say, point of view. They all have their own belief, their own set of beliefs, their own theories, everything. It goes on and on and on. So, what do we need to do? What is the meaning of our existence? It is to find the meaning of the heart, the meaning of our life, the meaning of our goodness. We are here to find the goodness of us. What is your goodness? Not the evil? You and I don't know what evil lurks inside of our genetic nature. We don't know. You do know your body is going to undermine you, betray you. Eventually, one day, it is going to kill itself. That is a form of betrayal. It can't be helped. It is what it is. This is the way we live our life, in a body that is very iffy. In this body, we are getting older. We are developing disease. We are developing all sorts of things. Is that evil? What is evil? You mean people like what Charles Manson was when he lived on Earth? What Adolf Hitler did when he was... These people, Hitler, Manson, all these people. They are people who went astray. They are people who were mentally ill, and for reasons we could go into for years. I mean, you could go into some diagnostic about their life and what they had gone through, what their parents did to them, why they chose the genetic nature they did. In this world, there will always be wars and rumors of wars, said Jesus, and there will always be those who transgress the law of love, the law of kindness, the law of compassion. There will always be those people. And they think they're right. They have a philosophy about their life, and they think they're right. And that's what they do. But these people are missing. They're missing who and what they are. They are missing the meaning of their existence. They are missing love. They are missing all the things that make life so meaningful. You ask me, what reason does God have for evil people in this world? It isn't that this God you believe in has a plan and a purpose for evil. And if you think that, then maybe you need to reconsider this whole idea of God. I mean, how do you live with that? How do you live with people like that? Where do you live with people like that? It would not be healthy. How can you believe in a God that would make evil? How do you do that? How do you believe in that? What is that? You miss. The whole object is to evolve. To evolve through love in love. You and I are not here to live our life as a manner of our beliefs. We are here to evolve in the manner of love. And it is only love that makes life worthwhile. The rest is falderall. And people get caught up in it. There are people who merge deeply into their genetic nature and find that one genetic thing, that fiber, that call to emotionalism. And that emotionalism sets them into motion to do many ugly things. Many ugly things. And it's easy to get people on their side, too, if you notice. It isn't hard. Hitler got thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women believing in his horse manure. It's so easy to lure the human into evil. It's so easy because it appeals to our genetic nature. Our need for survival, even our DNA. And it's so easy to get people to do that. And when we do that, when we live like that, we curse ourselves. In our karma, we create a curse. And that curse goes on and on and on. It never changes. And it is the cause of our suffering in this lifetime. So don't blame this on God. Take a look at yourself. What are you doing? What are you all about? What is it your life means to you? And don't blame it on God. Why don't you meditate? Why don't you work upon yourself? Why don't you transcend emotions? That's the real question, rather than blaming God. What is it about you that won't let you mature? Why do you stay the way you are? Why do you never doubt your emotions and your mental prowess or acuity? Why don't you? Maybe you should. And if you haven't, what's going on there? Why is this so difficult for you? If you think about these things in the terms of which I've just given you, then you will see that the responsibility falls on me and you and not on God. You get it? If you don't, you're going to suffer grievously for things you don't need to suffer from, which is basically our stupidity. All of us, me included. I hope that helps you. I do. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. And the last question comes from Linda in Los Angeles. If God is perfect, then why aren't we? I don't get it. Linda. Well, Linda, that's the assumption that you have probably read in the Bible in Genesis about God creating man in his own image and likeness. And of course, I have used this analogy so many times to show the stupidity of the American public, the world public, in thinking that there was this thing, this entity called God, omniscient, and that he being he, and always the he, and ladies, you should be questioning that, made a humankind, man, in his own image and likeness, which was totally imperfect. He got lonely, and then he wanted a companion, so God gave him woman. Big problem after that. And then all of a sudden, it gets ugly. You have to wonder about all that, don't you, Linda? Your question is well taken. So if God is perfect, why aren't we? Well, religion will tell you it's because we were given free will. Well, that's what Jason's saying is, hey, if God knew that we were, you know, fallible and all of that, why did he give us free will? What is that? That's kind of a mean trick, isn't it? You wouldn't give free will to a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old, which is just saying, you know, go on, get out of the house. Good luck. Hope you make it. You'll make it because you have free will. It doesn't, you know, people don't question this stuff. They just do it. I am telling you, this is all conjecture. It's religious falderal, baloney, BS. And people buy it because they don't care. They just don't have the depth, the mental acuity to go any deeper than where they go, which is to their senses, their biology. People only want to feel comfortable and be pleasured all their life until it's what they believe is lights out. And then it's over. So what are we to do with all of this? What is this really all about? It's about Greg Penn and Linda, laziness. We don't want to go any further. We don't want to go any deeper. We don't want to take this to the next step, which is to take inner responsibility for our life. And if I don't take inner responsibility for my life, what have I got in this world? What is important? What is really happening? People don't want to think about that. They really don't. Linda, you are perfect. Really, you are. I'm not saying your biology is, your mental prowess, your stature. I'm saying deep inside, you are love. And it transcends your physiology, your psychology, your emotionality. When you're willing to drop all of that for the sake of a love that is greater than your beliefs and your desires, you will come to a place where you no longer allow your mind to dictate to you your actions and beliefs. You will start to live in the compassion of your heart. So the real question is, the perfection that you seek has nothing to do with some ideal of God. It has to do with the state of your being, your heart. And why don't we go there? We don't go there because, basically, we're only interested in pleasuring ourselves, not liberating. And the more you and I pleasure ourselves, the more captivated we are by our bodies and our emotionality. And we miss this, the meaning of our life and what it can really be in our living, that meaning, which is tremendous love. Don't be fooled by your senses. Be liberated by your heart. Do those things that make love possible. And do as Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. Very important. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope that these questions were helpful. Hope you'll join our sponsorship program. I hope that you have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Be back on the air tomorrow. Namaste.